Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Radio EduTalk, an internet radio station and podcast about education. My name is John Johnson and I am sitting in Glasgow, Scotland. Tonight, our guest is Julia Skinner, who will be talking to us about the 100-word challenge in blogging. And folk that know me know blogging is a topic near to my heart. Good evening, Julia.
Hello, John. Hello. I'm talking to you from Bristol. It's very cold, very wet. The winter suddenly seems to have rushed in after a very mild autumn. I'm sitting in my study. This is the first time I've done anything like this, so it's very exciting, but very nerve-wracking as well. Just to let you know something about me, I'm a retired head teacher. I was a head teacher for about 13 years in three different schools in the south of Bristol, which is an area of social deprivation. So lots of challenges, lots of academic but also social problems for us to deal with. I took early retirement in 2008. I'd had the privilege of putting together, amalgamating an infant and junior school to form a primary school. And after 2 years of setting that up, it was ready to fly and I felt it was time for me to step back. But I discovered that although I was ready to retire from headship, I wasn't ready to retire from education. And that's really, you know, somebody suggested Twitter and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so you tweet at the head's office, which is
a, I do. Is a, is I tweet at the head's office. You can also find me at JFB57, which is where I first started, and that stands for Julia from Bristol, and I was 57 when I started that. That's where I started my Twitter career, but once I moved into thinking about the 100-word challenge and blogging myself, I set up a new account, and that's at the head's office. And I'm a real, real big Twitter fan. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah,
I'm slowly getting into Facebook, but I much prefer Twitter because of the immediacy of it.
Yeah, I just find Twitter's interface is a bit less cluttered than Facebook, and I can't be bothered with Facebook, I'm afraid. Just to let people know, if you're listening, folks, and Julia says something you're interested in, you want to pop a question over to us, feel free to just tweet with the hashtag EduTalk, and we'll try and pick that up and feed it into the show. So, Julie, you retired and still had the education bug or whatever, still wanted to keep involved, I guess, with young people from...
Yeah, I mean, it was funny how it happened, really. On my JFB57 account, that's where I first discovered blogging, and a lot of the people that I followed were what would be called mummy bloggers. There are some amazing writers out there and they have some fantastic blogs, and I just thought, well, perhaps that's what I wanted to do when I grow up. You know, perhaps I've always wanted to be a writer, so I set up a blog called Julia's Place. Well, it was, first of all, I called it What Will Julia Do Next, because I really was at a complete loss with my retirement as to what I was going to do. I hated it. The first 6 months I cried every day because I didn't have anything to worry about. having started with Twitter and then moving into these blogs, I thought, well, you know, I can do that. I can set up a blog. So I set up this blog, and I used to do 100-word writing piece with an American writer on a Saturday evening, and you had to do it very quickly. She would set a prompt which completely different to the prompts I use, but the idea was the same. And I used to, you know, I found that really enjoyable. And one of the things I would blog about was things that would come up on the news, perhaps something about school dinners or uniform. And I started an occasional series called Tales from the Head's Office, and it would be very light-hearted, but it would be me telling stories of the children linked to, you know, the relevant thing that was on the news, and somebody saw it, someone who really enjoyed media, social media, and she suggested that I actually moved the Tales to its own space, and that I ought to think not as a money blogger but more as an educational blogger. So I set up the Head's Office blog, which was all self-hosted. It was very posh, very proper. And I got a complete block with writing. I just could not write anything. I was worried about setting, you know, stating any opinions. I felt that I had to have, you know, footers and headers and everything. I got myself in a real pickle. But then I was still working on the other blog and having fun with it. And I was doing the 100 word one Saturday evening and thought, oh, I'm sure this could be adapted for children. And then if I was to put it on the Head's Office, I could get a few people visiting, and that would help my statistics, and, you know, things would look a lot better. And as at the Head's Office, my Twitter account, I had begun to develop a personal network of educators and teachers. So I, you know, put it to them, if I was to set this writing thing up, would you, you know, support it? Would you help? And they said, oh, yes, yeah, anything, you know, go for it. So I started the first one, and it's the process is exactly the same now as it was 3 years ago. I set this prompt, and I'd worked out that if I got 30 pieces of writing, that would make my stats look really good. So that was what I was aiming for. And the first week I got 45, and gradually it built and built. When it got to 150, I thought, gosh, this is, you know, this is really going somewhere. And the thing about the 100 word challenge is, you know, I set a prompt, but I also provide the comments. And when I first started, I made a commitment to the children: you write for me and I will write to you. So that was my commitment, that if they wrote and posted their pieces of writing, I would comment. And I was fine up to about 150. I could manage 150 in a week, but it was taking over my life. And my husband kept trying to remind me that I was supposed to be retired, and therefore, you know, tea was expected to be on the table at a reasonable hour, and, you know, if we could wash the clothes occasionally. So David Mitchell actually suggested, at Deputy Mitchell, suggested that there must be lots of people out there like me, retired people, who would love to spend some time commenting and interacting with young people's writing. So I thought, well, this is a really good idea. But of course, it was my baby, and I was a bit nervous, you know, about letting people comment in my name. So it took me about a month to put together a set of guidelines, and I tweaked them over the years. And the guidelines basically, you know, give whoever is part of Team 100, which is the voluntary team that comment, it gives them, right, it always has to be positive, you always put your name, you always put the child's name. If you can see a way for some improvement, then fine, but that really isn't the major thing. The major thing is to just engage with that piece of writing. And again, through Twitter, I developed a team. I suppose there were about 20 of us in the beginning. And when the numbers stayed around 200, that was fine. You know, we could cover all the posts. As the numbers went up, it was suggested that I move the 100 word to its own space. I seem to keep doing this, you know, having things on my blogs and then having to move them. So 100 word challenge blog was born, and the last couple of weeks we've had 1500 entries. Wow. Each week. So it has absolutely exploded. Originally, it was just schools from the UK, because it was very much dictated by my Twitter group, really, and my followers. But as these things, you know, spread, then gradually I saw Australian, New Zealand schools coming on, all those countries where, you know, they are absolutely bonkers for blogging. And a lot of their teachers tweet as well, and gradually the numbers have gone up. And I have schools, well, according to my Google Analytics, which I'm not really sure, I don't really understand them, but I like some of the graphs. They tell me that about 86 countries, territories over the course of a year will pop in. They're not always there. You know, they don't all, you know, it's not every week. But that's really good. And I got very excited the other day because I have got a Chinese school that's signed up. I suspect it's an English-speaking Chinese school, but I know that, you know, they are really big places. I have a friend who's recently visited, and he's been to a primary school that's got 5,000 on roll across, you know, 5 or 6 different campuses. So you have to go, I shall have to go careful with promoting it in China, I think. And the process is exactly the same. I set a prompt and the children have 100 words to write, to produce a creative piece of writing. And I do stress the creative, because I think far too often, you know, we tie children down with this writing business. You know, we tell them all the things that it's got to have and all the things that it mustn't have, rather than, right, here's part of a sentence, take it where you will. And so that's what happens. They write their pieces. Ideally, they post them on a class blog. But I do have schools who don't, well, classes who don't blog, who don't have a blog of their own, but the teachers are very keen. And so I've actually set up a blog that can be used by teachers.
Blogless classes.
And it can be used, you know, by anybody across the world. So they just have to remember to put where they're from. And then once it's been posted onto a blog, then it is linked to 100wc.net. That is the URL for the 100 Word Challenge. And as people who have heard me speak before will know, it's very easy to remember. You just have to remember toilets and fish, 100wc.net. And when you get there, there are a variety of tabs at the top to help you. Lots of my Twitter friends have helped out. Ian Addison has done a brilliant video on how to blog, and a school in Surrey last year did, you know, how you actually post. So there's all sorts of information there, but you also then get the prompt. Now, I use 3 different types of prompts. I use picture prompts of things that I've taken, of things I've seen, which have sparked my imagination or my interest. So they're, you know, they are quite quirky. I've also been really, really privileged to have had some working with Jane Hewitt, who is an amazing photographer, who puts together photos for me using little people, the sort of models, miniature models that you use for those people that have got trains, you know, and you can build little platforms and things. She puts together some photos for me. So there are photos, photo prompt. The next sort of prompt I use are parts of a sentence. So it could be, this week it's, but as the leaves rustled. And when I put part of a sentence up, I don't put a capital letter at the beginning, because if you put a capital letter, again, you're saying to the young writer, it has to go at the beginning of a sentence. And they will then interpret that as it's got to go at the beginning of my work. And actually, they may not want to put it there. So I don't put a capital letter there. But the rule when it's part of a sentence, they have to use the prompt as it is. So they can't add anything and they can't split it up. They have to use it as it is. That's the second one. And then the third type of prompt, which as a writer I find really boring, but the children really love it. And that's the most important thing. And that's five individual words. And so it'll be an adjective and a noun and an adverb and all that sort of nonsense. Ideally, they don't go into a sentence. And they can be put in any order anywhere in their work. So those are the three different types of prompts that the children get over the course of, you know, a few weeks. I also have the privilege of people wanting to set prompts. And last week, it was the night zookeeper, the wonderful Paul and Buzz. They put put together a short video, which the children had to watch, and made us. They actually said, "You have to start." He was very surprised when, and they've all done. I think we had about 1,600 entries for that, and the night zookeeper team have set a prize for the winning post, which I will reveal tomorrow. We've also done some prompts where we've supported Save the Children, Oxfam. Recently, the most recent one of supporting a charity was for Sight Savers, when they actually carried out an operation to remove the cataracts from somebody's eyes in Africa, and then the next day or 2 days later the children were able to actually watch the bandages being taken off. And so the prompt was all about sight, and then because of the centenary for the beginning of World War One, we did have a very special one, which was just remembrance. And I although they didn't, the picture wasn't the prompt, I was able to show them the picture of all the poppies at the Tower of London, and that produced some amazing writing. I have to say, you know, again, this is such a privilege, the writing that is produced by our youngsters, absolutely astonishing.
So, amazing project and fantastic reach to get 1,600 bits of writing. So I'm just not doing the maths, because my maths is not that great, but the sort of sums around this, you've got 200 volunteers.
Well, we've had to last year, I have to say, I publish it on a Sunday morning, and that means that the first thing I have to do is to look at what happened last week. And I spent so many Sunday mornings in a fit of panic because I knew I hadn't covered the numbers. Mm. What I do, if I explain how the team is devised, people send in, say they want to help. They are then given 10 numbers across a range. So they're not consecutive numbers. So they, you know, could be 1, 49, 76, and hopefully that will cover the number of posts I think I'm going to have. I managed to get, you know, as I said, about 200 volunteers last year to have 10 numbers, so we should have been able to have covered 2,000. My aspiration has always been to try and have 3 or 4 comments from the team. So that, because obviously the team members come from different viewpoints, they see different things. So in order, and it was putting a huge amount of pressure on the volunteers that I had. So what I've done this year, I've said to classes that if you sign up to take part, I need a name of somebody to join the team. At the moment, in theory, I've got 500 volunteers now.
Right.
But unfortunately, quite a large number of them aren't commenting, which is a bit of a shame. It means that some children aren't getting any comments. But it's, you know, it's all done out of my study. It's not automated in any way. So that is a bit of a problem. But, you know, the children are delighted when they get a comment. It's the teachers that worry when they don't, and we try and pick up any odds and ends, you know.
Well, certainly there's a couple of things I think that are really interesting about this, and one is just how do you manage it, but the other thing I think is the effect on children, and certainly in years gone by in my own class, I saw quite extraordinary effects on kids getting comments. But you've probably got, and I don't know if there's, if people like to measure impact or whatever, and I'm putting scare quotes around my impact there, because I'm not, because I think some of this is very, you know, we've just got to trust because it's exciting and looks valuable.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Are you seeing sort of, or is any of the poor hall perhaps teachers or children saying they see improvements in their
writing? Yeah, I mean, I've got the equivalent of War and Peace.
Mm.
With anecdotes that are absolutely wonderful, you know, from teachers. I've had videos written, constructed and put together by the children. But as you know, education, wherever you are, you know, you have to have the percentages, you have to have the data, you have to prove impact. They're not interested in the anecdotes. And somebody has, I've put it up in front of me, somebody, she's in Australia, and she sent me some figures in February. I mean, obviously their year goes differently to us, so in February, when the children started, 25% of the students could write fluently without distraction.
Mm-hmm.
That has now gone to 100%. They can write for 45 minutes without distraction or support. In February, 6% of the students could edit the work to make sure it was round about 100, mm-hmm. 100 words. Now that's gone up to 75%, that they can actually make it, you know, roughly 100 words. I mean, obviously I don't count them, although some of the children think I do, that I sit and count them.
Tell them,
but,
that.
You know, and when they first start, they are obsessed with how many words they've written. And then she's also written, all three students with special learning support programs, this is in February, all three students with special learning support programs had been told that they would need to completely modified curriculum and could not access the learning experiences provided in normal classrooms. And now, at the end of their year, three students with special learning support programs have been acknowledged in the special showcase without support for their writing. And to this teacher, that is the biggest accolade that they could get. So it is difficult. It's difficult because, obviously, the 100-word challenge, those teachers that do it, the children are likely to write five or six pieces of something during the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very difficult to prove that the impact on the progress that a lot of teachers are seeing in writing has come through the 100 word. But it is about giving the children that motivation, giving them that extended audience.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. It was a year into my retirement when I first started looking at doing this. And I found a quote about a story actually isn't a story. It's just marks on a page. It's only a story when somebody reads it. And then it becomes a live thing. And I suddenly thought, my goodness me, why did I, you know, the children, all those children I've taught over my career, you know, did they actually have any idea why we were doing it?
Mm.
They were doing it because I said we had to. Whereas by giving them a purpose, even if it is, I wonder if that man in Australia is going to reply, or I wonder if I'm going to speak to that boy in Bolton again. Because one of the other things we try and do is we try and encourage I talk in the we. I've been told I'm supposed to talk in the we. It is actually me. What I try and encourage is that the children go and visit. If they've posted, they should go and visit and leave comments. And peer-to-peer comments are incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So it is about that extended audience immediately gives them a purpose for doing it rather than just pleasing that person that stood in front of them. And I've been amazed with what the teachers have done with it. We've got such creative people out there. You know, they've used it for editing. Again, it's only 100 words is my mantra. And so if you're trying to get children to up level or to make a piece of writing better, only being 100 words is brilliant. So they can do that. I've got classes where they all do 100 words, they swap around and they improve it. I've got some people who've told me I've improved their workload because they don't have to worry about homework and they don't have to take those books home. They just read through the comments and see what the readers have got from those pieces of writing. By going and visiting other pieces, other posts, teachers have an opportunity of teaching how to critique a piece of work. And again, it's only 100 words, so that's really a nice chunk. It's not too big. And obviously, if you're popping around the internet, it's an opportunity to talk about internet safety and how they, you know, how they need to go about it. And I know that there are some classes that have a map of the world on their wall, and they track where their comments come from or where they leave comments. So, you know, it's sort of geography. I'm just amazed. I didn't intend any of this. I just wanted 30 visitors to my blog. So, you know, it is now incredibly huge, but it is having this really good impact. I mean, it is improving writing, but for me, it's more about children being motivated to learn and wanting to, you know, actually have a go. And if they have a go this week and get a comment, then they'll want to have a go next week, but do it better.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's nothing to do with my prompts or anything. It is just that motivation that, you know, oh gosh, yes, I want to do that. And of course, I also have this amazing thing that the children think is wonderful. It's just a badge for their blogs. Once a week, I produce a showcase, and those are posts that the team members send to me that think deserve another look. And they can be quirky ones, they can be amazing pieces of writing, they could possibly be a poem, or they could be a piece of writing that clearly is from someone who has had difficulties with writing but has really, really made a supreme effort. And I produce a post it's going to be on a Thursday now, with those names, and they're just, you know, I just put a hyperlink there, and then the children can have a, you know, a badge for their blog, which they love as well. So it's,
the whole thing's fantastic. I mean, my own blog is called John's Worldwide Wall Display, because I always talk about, when I was teaching, I talked to everybody trying to get them to blog, not with a great deal of success, that this is what it was. It was the idea that you start off, somebody gives me a piece of writing, I stick it in the wall, their class see it, it gets paraded at school assembly, well, you have an audience of a couple of hundred, and then you put it on the web, and you've got, you might have a real audience of two, but you've got a potential audience of millions, you know, and one comment. And I wonder, when you mentioned the children who needed support for their writing and managed to produce good work without it, one of the things I noticed that was that children's writing, because the people commenting didn't know the history of that child.
Absolutely.
Very often kids who would not normally be expected to get a whole heap of praise in class, that they did, especially in shorter pieces. I'm thinking more of poetry, but, you know, they managed to write something that was really
good.
And they get an unqualified, yes, this is great, from somebody in Bangkok or Australia or something.
Because they only know those 100 words.
Yeah.
They've got no idea if it's a pain in the neck child, if it's an outstandingly wonderful child. And it means that it is a completely flat playing field. They all start off the same, you know, which is just brilliant. As you say, you know, in all our education systems, there is very rare opportunity where children are actually all starting off the same. It is fascinating. It's fascinating, the sort of psychology of it all, and, you know, how some of the teachers get really, really uptight. You know, we haven't been showcased. Why haven't we been showcased? And, you know, they've written two pieces, and another school has, you know, posted 20, and they've had children chosen. Well, yeah, there's more of a chance, isn't there? Two to 20. But yes, it's, well, it keeps me busy. Stops me, you know, sitting on the settee watching daytime television.
Well, I think much more important, obviously, is if you're affecting 1,600 children every week, that is a marvelous thing. I'm also interested because you asked the children, the classes, to comment on other schools. Now, I'm assuming that most of the posts are posted to their own class blogs that have got a mixture of other things on them. So, as well as their work on the 100 Word Challenge, they might have, you know, reports from this and bits of video or whatever and things. And are we seeing connections made between schools?
Yeah, because absolutely.
Of this?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some wonderful people in Ireland who have just, I'm trying to see where they are, people in Ireland who have linked up with, let me just check where, with a teacher up north here, that's recently, and that's come through. They've actually tweeted each other and are just getting to swapping to write on other posts and visit their blogs. So yes, it is an ideal opportunity to introduce blogging and to link, you know, with David Mitchell's idea of pod blogging. It actually gives a purpose for schools getting together initially. You know, the initial contact is, right, well, we'll read your post, you read ours. Oh, well, what have you been doing this week? And taking an interest in the outer, you know, the other activities. So, yes, it's, you know, the idea of the global classroom. Because I think sometimes global citizenship, global classroom can be quite difficult for teachers because they don't know what to do. You know, well, I've done that. And it's the same with blogging. Mm. You know, they've got this blog. What do I do now? I haven't got time to put things up on it. So things like the 100 Word Challenge can be incorporated into literacy lessons very easily. You know, I know there are tutor groups in Australia do it. You know, they have 20 minutes while the register's being taken. So it can be fitted in really easily. But if you then link with classes across the world, it's a purpose for the teacher. The teacher doesn't have to stop and think, oh, what am I going to put on the blog this week? You know, it's ready made. So it is, you know, it is an amazing tool, and it's only 100 words, as I say. And for those schools that are interested in getting parents on board, again, you know, you can encourage them to go and read. It's only 100 words, Mrs. Smith. It won't take you 2 minutes to read, and you can then leave a little comment. So it is, you know, it's a nice size. It's enough for children to actually get their teeth into and to be able to write a story from beginning to end. But it's not so daunting for those who really do find writing difficult. You know, you just say, oh, it's only 100 words, not even a page full.
Yeah.
You know, children haven't really got any concept of what 100 word looks like, and that doesn't sound very much. Okay, we'll give it a go. And if they then get the comments back, then they're off. You know,
yeah.
So it's, you know.
No, it's fantastic. It's,
yeah.
And I wonder, a thing that I always thought was important, and mostly due to personal laziness, is the reason I started blogging with kids was it saved me having to do anything on the school website sort of thing. You know, they keep it up. It becomes part of your class. It's, you know, the whole thing becomes, you know, instead of being a chore for the teacher, it's a...
Absolutely.
An affordance for the children, you know, it does something there.
So, well, when I was a head teacher, if I had an initiative that I needed the teachers to take on that they weren't keen about, I would give it to the children, and then it would happen. And the same happens with blogging, I think. Once they know the mechanics of blogging, give it to the children. They will then fill the blog very easily, you know.
Yeah, and I think if they do given their head, they will actually help each other to produce better posts, for instance, if we go away from the actual 100 words, you know, and letting the odd slip out that's not a perfect piece of prose, I think, is fine, because it's a blog, and that's the sort of nature of the beast. And room for improvement.
Yeah,
Julie, I'm realising that I've probably told you at some point it was half an hour and we've run over, but I'd still, if you've got a minute, I'd kind of like just to go through the process. Is quite interesting to me. Just as a wee aside, I find this fascinating because I take part in the same thing from the children's point of view. I take part in an online class called DS106 where I respond to my blog, and so you get the same sort of thing. You're learning different things about digital storytelling, which is it's quite interesting that the thing that excites me also excites pupils. And that is having an audience and learning things together.
Yeah.
If you look at the 100 Word Challenge page, there is basically, on the challenges, you've got a Google form. Yep. I presume it's a Google form. It's a form.
Yeah.
And so, do the children fill this in? And does this... How do you...
I like the children to fill it in once they are expert at doing it. That is the key to it, because right at the top of the form, the first thing you will see will be the blog address, the URL. And once that goes in, then that is what shows on the list. And it's that URL that the team click in. Now, what I've had to do to try and support my team, you know, there's nothing worse than volunteering to do this and to click in and to not get anything, or for it not to be working, or for their, you know, to get a join Google or something message. So what I'm now doing is, you'll see that if you have a look at the latest list, you'll see that some of them have been greyed out, and they are posts that I've identified as not working. The links don't work. So I grey them out so that if you come across, if you're a member of the team and one of your numbers has been greyed out, you know not to bother, because it's been, you know, hasn't been linked correctly. So what I want is for whoever is able to do that correctly to do it. Now, I know there are some students in some classes that are far more able than their teachers because it's just something that they haven't picked up. But I am finding from conversations and emails, I am finding that a lot of people are learning about blogging and linking and URLs and everything just by taking part in the 100 Word.
Yeah, so you're doing digital literacy.
Something else. I didn't intend to do that. But you will also see from week 11 onwards that some of the links have been shaded in red. And these are links where the teachers have contacted me to say they didn't get any comments. And so I've gone in and shaded that. They are now shaded bright red, so that people that do have an extra few minutes can pop in and leave a comment where there is where a link has been shaded in red. And I have to say, I have to say a huge thank you to Ed Cooper, who is Coop, at Coop H on Twitter. He makes sure that all the technicalities keep going. He designed that form at the front, because previously I used Linky Tools, which was, you know, a commercial thing, which was invariably crashing. It just wasn't used to having 1,500 links to it. And he comes up with the shading. It was his design for the shading and things. So, you know, huge, huge thank you to him. He keeps it all going. But it's really interesting, because the idea of shading links, that, you know, I would never have thought of that before. Because people often ask me, right, well, where do you see, you know, the 100 Word going? Well, I don't know. It will go wherever the teachers and the children need it to go. So the team needed to have an opportunity of not going into broken links. The teachers need an opportunity to flag up those children without any comments. So we, you know, as I say, with Ed's help, we've been able to develop these things to accommodate that. The other thing I should mention is, obviously, the 100 Word Challenge is really for, you know, those writers that are on their way. I have the 5-sentence challenge, which is run in exactly the same way, except it's fortnightly, and the children just have to write 5 sentences, and that really is aimed at emerging writers. And I know, initially for England, it was would be for Key Stage 1, but actually a lot of teachers, again, all this creativity that we have, they've been using it to support children with special needs. I know there are some EFL teachers who also use it, because again, it's only 5 sentences, although I have to say some of the 5 sentences that actually write more than 100 words. But anyway, but it is aimed at that emerging writer, and they get the same experience of that extended audience and of a comment coming in. And again, that I had no intention of setting that up, but that came from an appeal from somebody I met at BET. You know, this sounds wonderful, but I teach, year one. Have you got anything for the little ones? So the 100 word will go wherever the teachers and the children need it to go, really. As long as it doesn't get too big, and I still have my wonderful team 100 who continue to comment. Yeah. It's them that makes the difference, I think.
And that's because anybody can look at the lists of the responses. Yep.
Yeah.
You can click through and you can see the form. So do you get sort of people who, that's how they start, they just go on and have a wee look and join it that way?
I think so. I mean, the idea of formalising it was, I mean, when I first started and there were half a dozen of us, we would just pop in and out, and of course you would get one, whichever post was number one, you could guarantee they'd get half a dozen comments, and then the person, the one that went was last, would get none. So in order to try and standardise it, that's where I came up with the idea of a grid. So I have a grid which goes from 1 to 2,000. And then those people that have volunteered are actually in teams of 200. And I can cover that 2,000. That's always presuming, they comment on their 10. If we go over 2,000, that's when my Sunday mornings will be full of panic again. But at the moment, I think it's been fairly steady, 1,500. Yeah. And in a minute, Australia and New Zealand are going to go off on their Christmas holidays. And then, their long summer break. And, we have these periods when, half the world isn't working. But when the world is all working, which it is at the moment, the UK isn't on holiday, neither are the States. Or when the whole world is working, at the moment, I think it's going to be about 1,600. And we can cope with that. That's the royal we. I always talk in the royal we.
No, just a wonderful project, and just to get that numbers, because I remember back in probably about 2005 or 2006 trying to rally Scottish edgy bloggers under the comments for kids with a Z idea, and get people to sign up and comment on each other's blogs, and it didn't go very far, so I'm just in awe of this sort of 1,600 posts a week coming in. Is an amazing achievement. And when you think of the knock-on effects you'll be having, and you're covering, never mind the literacy, the digital literacy, the internet safety, the self-esteem, all sorts of things. Just a fantastic project, Julie.
Wow, that's lovely.
And again, I realise I probably dragged you probably away from something else, but is there any last wee thing you'd like to say before we kind of round up?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I would probably like to thank all my team. I would like to thank the core. They know who they are, that have been with me right from the beginning, and they're the ones that I contact on a Sunday morning and say, can you do some extras? But it is this team of people who really see the value in children sharing their work. And it's also, I also need to thank the teachers, because if the teachers didn't allow have the children to do the writing and allow them to post it, then, you know, none of it, you know, this just wouldn't happen. So there's a huge amount of work that's going on supporting young writers. And I think that's really good, because writing traditionally is always got such bad press. But, you know, you can click into the majority of those posts right the way, you know, go right back to the beginning of 100 Words, and you will find some absolutely astounding pieces of writing. So the children have it in them. So it's really important, I think, that, you know, we don't squash it. I often think we use the wrong vocabulary when we're talking to children, particularly children. You know, we talk about reading and we talk about writing. Well, you know, I don't do reading, I don't do writing, says Heaven in the back. But if you say to them, right, well, we're not doing any writing today, I want you to blog. Mm. You know, we're not doing writing, we're going to blog. They don't make the connection that actually they are going to be writing, but they're blogging. And the same if they go and visit another child's piece of writing, you may well, and I know some teachers have set it up for guided reading opportunities. You don't say to them, go and read. You say, right, well, Mr. Skinner wants us to go and help the youngster who has done this writing. You know, we're going to be teachers for a little while. So it's about getting them to the same places without using those awful words of reading and writing. And I think blogging and social media can actually do that. Mm. You know, we can get them building those skills and getting that interest and getting that motivation. You know, it's not cool to do writing, but it is cool to blog. You know, and that's, we need to be where they are. You know, we need to be where the children are, really. And of course, social media can also get really bad press, but this is safe bad press. Mm. I say all the time, you know, blogging is incredibly safe. You know, I have 5 or 6 blogs either that are mine or that I, you know, have overall control of, and nothing goes on any of those unless I say so. And it is amazing how many people don't realize that, and they are really, really frightened of it and really, really nervous, whereas actually blogging is really, really safe to get the children into the internet, into being able to correspond, into the whole world of social media completely safely, you know.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I like I used to talk about stealth learning, that the kids, say the one is if we're podcasting, then you would get kids who would write at home what they were going to talk about on the podcast, but you know, if you'd asked them to do a bit of writing, it would be no way, you know. And if you asked them what they were learning, they would say, oh, we're learning to use the computers. And I'd be thinking, well, actually, you're talking, listening, reading and writing, and self-learning, it's like that. It's
just don't tell them. It's a big con. It's a big con. Yes, I was always a special needs teacher, and, you know, for a lot of my career, and I always had a bag of bribery and corruption, you know, to get through that wall. You just have a cunning plan. You just present it in a different way. And I think that's where the success of 100 Word and the 5 Sentence, they don't know they're writing, which is great.
So, Julia, just can I just say a huge thank you for this, because and just fall over with admiration for somebody that can get something like this together and off the ground. I can't imagine how much effort and work it must be. So a huge thanks, and just all the best.
Thank you very much for inviting me,
and I hope that some folk are listening, and I'll be pushing this in quite a lot of people's faces in Scotland to try and get them moving their classroom blog into a series of teacher produced reports to something with a child's input, so that they're actually using it as a tool for learning. So that's wonderful.
A couple of my team have tweeted in, so thanks very much, guys.
I forgot. I have a bad tendency to end up listening and not actually watching the tweets. Apologies. If you're listening, folks, thanks, Julia. Next Tuesday, David will be talking to Neil Dempsey about the path from primary to third level education for students with dyslexia. I'll be back next Wednesday talking to Josie Fraser, who has been doing some spectacular work in open educational resources. On Saturday, the 6th of December, David will be down at the Pettigrew Christmas party, and we'll be continuing to go right up until the 16th of December, when we'll have a break for Christmas. So, thanks very much, Julia, and I hope if you've enjoyed listening, let us know. If you want, I'm sure you can ask questions of Julia by getting in touch at the Head's office, isn't it?
Yep.
At the Head's, not the Head office, at the Head's office on Twitter. Okay, so good night, folks.